We continue our reading of the book of 1 Samuel. We come today to 1 Samuel 24, and we will read the whole chapter, verses 1 to 22. Now, I've been commenting in this phase of David's life. He's being unjustly persecuted by wicked King Saul. He's on the run. He's betrayed by people around him. He's got a loyal band, but he's weary and he's discouraged, and it just seems that he's going to lose. Chapter 23 is where Saul, the wicked king, had him cornered, but God delivered David by sending the Philistines to attack, and that made the Israelite army have to go and defend against that. But in chapter 24, they just come back again, and they've really got him. I mean, he's in a desperate state, and he's in the cave region of En Gedi, and Saul has now got his soldiers searching the caves. And it turns out to be one of the great episodes in David's life. We've seen some times that weren't great, like when he went to Gath and didn't pray before he acted. But now the Holy Spirit's upon him. It's just a beautiful passage of real godliness, because David's being treated unfairly. He's being treated unjustly, and there's an implicit temptation in the way the Lord delivers him. Because while David and a group of his band are hiding in the back of one of the caves, in saunters Saul himself, the king, and he's alone, and he's there to relieve himself. And yes, this is biblical scorn. When we're to picture this, and this great man, he's got to go to the bathroom like everybody else, and he does it in David's cave. And the men of David are like, we've got him. This is the Lord, the providence of God. And David, he sneaks up. And at the last minute, to the dismay of his soldiers, he does not strike Saul dead. He cuts off a corner of his robe and he slinks back. And the men are like, I'm paraphrasing it, what were you doing? This was of the Lord. He's like, it can't be of the Lord because it's contrary to the word of God. Wicked as Saul is, he is the anointed of the Lord. He's the legitimate king of Israel, and I'm not to lay my hand against him. I feel like I sinned even by cutting off the tassel of his robe. And it's a great moment because God's going to deliver David. God's going to deliver you. And these things sometimes are temptations that we would take things into our own hands. We would do good things in sinful means. Oh, what a mistake that is. I think in part when David's there and he sees his men goading him on, he realizes that he's a leader. And if he kills Saul, then he's going to be king. Is that how he wants to establish the great kingdom? With a bloody knife in his hand? And he's awakened by that. If you're a pastor, if you're a father, a mother, if you're a school teacher, if you're a Christian businessman, you have a high calling to influence people by a living testimony of faith, by trusting God, by obeying his word, particularly when it hurts. Maybe you have desires of your heart. They're very intense. You pray to God. He doesn't seem to be answering it. And then a way of achieving that presents it to you. And it's not strictly in keeping with God's word. There's a little voice in your mind, like those men in the back of the cave saying, oh, it's of the Lord. It's not of the Lord if it's not according to his word, my friends. And he is glorified. And the witness of our life is magnified when we go, you know what? I'm going to trust the Lord. And this episode ends with David following Saul out of the cave. And he actually holds up the piece of the cloak. It's a great dramatic moment. And says, Saul, why are you chasing me? Why are you trying to kill me? I could have killed you. I didn't. And Saul is quickened to the heart. And he says, you've done good to me. I've done evil to you, David. And he actually pleads that day. He says, David, I know you're going to be king because God promised it. And when you're king, have mercy on my family. And you go, oh, it's great. Well, no, because it doesn't last. He's not born again. It's carnal repentance. And by the next chapter, he's on his heels again. But what a blessed thing it is to see David. Of course, he's a picture of our Lord Jesus. Thy will is in my heart, O Lord. Let us be wise. How do we become wise? Through the word of God, through prayer. Let us glorify God. Let's do the right thing. Let's do it in the right way. Let's honor the word of the Lord. Well, with these things in mind, please give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. We begin at verse 1 of 1 Samuel 24. When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goats rocks. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.'" Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterwards David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Behold, David seeks your harm'? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not put out my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, 'Out of the wicked comes wickedness,' but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it, and plead my cause, and deliver me from your hand." As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt with me, and that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the king of Israel, kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore this to Saul. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.